shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that as we sing this song, all things are possible. There were so many things that were possible, and their possibility was justified by coming to pass, and we saw it with our eyes, and we heard the truth with our ears, and understood with our hearts, and we were so glad. And now we know that the other things that are possible only because of your presence are here at hand, such as the resurrection, because we know the voice is the next, and the great changing, and the trumpet call, and the wedding supper. And if the one be true upon which all others are based, then those others must fall in line. And we thank you, Lord, for this assurance at this hour, which is ours, and we don't need to think twice about it. We know it's done. We know that there are those standing here who will see that great day and be changed to immortality and caught away, standing here to see the resurrection of those ones gone on before, to come on back and all together go to the great wedding supper. We know, Lord, that that is in the air right now. It's in the land, and things are concluding rapidly, more rapidly than we think, Father. And we thank you for it, that we have some revelation, we have some knowledge concerning it, and we're so glad we're a part of it. We thank you, you've made us privy to it, showing that we are indeed your friends. We ask your continued mercy tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I wonder how many of you are aware that we had a very historic event take place today, if I heard correctly on the radio. Anybody got an idea? Huh? What is it? They made their covenants in Jerusalem. Okay, what month is this? June. What month is that numerically? 6 months, right? What day is it? Huh? The day is what? 15. What's 5 and 1? Got 2 sixes, right? What's 1994? I'm going to catch you here, so be very careful. What's 1 and 4 make? 5. But there's no year 0, right? Huh? Come on, am I right? You're not getting me. A baby that's born has lived 1 year at the time they give him his first birthday, right? So we are now having passed 1994 and are in actually 1995, right? Right or wrong? Add 1 and 5 is what? 666. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying it's nice to know these things. 666. Who knows if this is not it? Well, it's just to let you know everything has something going for it. And everything is out there. No voice. Nothing that goes on. But is consequential. So here we are already 666, which shows more and more clearly that the mark of the beast is taking place. The mark is in the forehead and the hand. It's not in a little card, a plastic card, although the plastic card is there. It's believing the doctrine, of which the Trinity is the major doctrine. Now remember, the greatest revelation of this hour was there is one God. In baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Contrary to these people who write me and talk about Brother Branham being oneness, he was not oneness. He did not agree with the Jesus only. He was not Jesus only. No Jesus only preacher ever taught his people to believe that the Son talked to the Father and the Father to the Son. There were two of them. Everybody gets mixed up thinking you're preaching two gods. One God with one only begotten Son in whom he begat his generations. If you're in him, you're in the Father, because he is the Father on the grounds of the only life and essentiality and intrinsicality was God himself there. What came forth from God was the Son of God, making him the perfect Son, the perfect image, and in him began his generations. This day I have begun my generations in you. You are my Son. He said to the same one, you I have begotten you from the dead. Beginning all the firstborn, calling out of the ground, waiting for us. Oh, my, I just don't know how people cannot get in this revelation and just love it and enjoy it. it becomes marvelous. I never could play chess, but I can sure play the scriptures. I was lousy at checkers, but I sure can take the scriptures. Never too good at cards, but brother, just hand me all these beautiful things in here. I'm not interested in little childish games and games of thought and this and that. I'm interested in one thing, the game of life, and here it is in the printed page. God in the printed form. All right, we're on perhaps the last one of this series, number 18, Things That Are to Be. And it is certainly clear in this message that Brother Branham is speaking on what is to be in the very near future because of what is presently before us. And at the same time, he is telling us exactly what the present holds based on scriptural promises previously given, or what is already being manifested and brought to pass. In other words, things that are to be are based on what is here now and proven to be here now. In other words, the last little link between going over. Here promises previously given, brought before us, fully manifested the hour in which you live. Here is exactly an omega for Elijah number 4 based on Elijah number 3. William Branham was Elijah 4, John was number 3. The scripture of the hour is made perfectly clear. And the same scripture blends with and brings to pass the new scripture to be fulfilled, thus carrying us into the future in no uncertain terms. Remember, it was cut off in the days of Jesus as he was cut off, but now, once this begins to move again, it moves through every crisis period and right into the millennium and into New Jerusalem and so on. The scripture Brother Branham speaks of as to be fulfilled is definitely pertaining to the resurrection of the bride, who will then go in with their new bodies to the wedding supper and the millennium and on to New Jerusalem. We notice that as he speaks to us, especially in reference to present scriptural fulfillment, he speaks of matching time in the world, which reflects our matching time of identification with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word, as we saw last week in Hebrews 2, and we read it. Remember, he fully identifies himself with us in the midst of the church before Almighty God, knowing that he and we are of the same source, as Brother Branham so clearly said, we came exactly like he did, and he came exactly like we did. Except we bypass the spirit, word, theophonic body, which Jesus did not. And therefore, he had perfect memory concerning the past, which you and I do not have. Also, we are perfectly identified in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, the sanctifying word of this hour, in order that we might be, he might present us to himself. And remember, both he, the sanctified, and those who are sanctified are all of one. So if there's a sanctified word going on, then we are perfectly sanctified through the word and through him, and we are one together. So it is matching time. Have we matched to the word in our faith? Do we match to this revelation? Do we say, this is it, or are we in doubt? When you know when you're going to get married to somebody and you're in doubt, you better stand back until you don't have any doubts. Or you might have a punk marriage. You're supposed to absolutely know. That's what betrothal is about. Spousal. Engagement. As far as I am concerned, there's a period there where you're watching each other to see how you're moving in. There's also a matching time that Brother Branham had concerning himself. Number one, there's a matching of the Son of Man ministry, which he had in this hour, where God himself in the form of the Holy Ghost works through a prophet, and Jesus was a prophet. But this is not the Son of Man prophet, a virgin-born man. This is a regular prophet, William Branham, like unto Moses and Paul. And we have this great ministry matching thoroughly the very same ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, except in one difference. Because Christianity went from Jerusalem worldwide, and Jesus was purely local, and this is worldwide. This was a far greater ministry. As Brother Branham said, he had more success in my ministry himself than he had in his own at that particular time, which means God manifesting himself. At the same time, you'll also notice that there is a matching time. There was a matching time back there in the day of Jesus when he said in Matthew 7,
He said, all right, many will come in that day, and they will tell me, have we not cast out devils in thy name and done wonderful works and so on and so forth? He said, I never knew you. You are false prophets. You are 100% off the word. You use that anointing just like Judas did, and therefore now you are condemned. And Brother Branham had the very same thing in this hour, as we saw those people come on the scene and try to match with him, and they could match the miracles and signs and wonders, but they did not have, thus saith the Lord, they did not have the true discernment, they did not have the word of the hour. So we have a wonderful exhibition of matching time. And Brother Branham is saying categorically, look, the Joneses match their car to the Smiths, and if they got a red porch, they want a red porch. If they got a Ford instead of a Chevy, they do this and that. And, of course, in the Laodicean period, it's Rolls-Royce, Cadillac, and Mercedes-Benz, and BMWs, and Corvettes. Yeah, oh, boy. Matching that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The only thing we really want to match to, and we'll look into this a bit, is the Word of God through that great mirror. Also, we see the Omega, Matthew 22, which was given to the Jews, the parable of the great wedding supper, which was given gratis to people who were invited, and they did not accept the invitation. So we have it now in our turn. So therefore, Brother Branham, we notice this carefully, that this parable had an Alpha, which today has the true Omega. There is a wedding supper, and believe me, nothing is going to deflect it or put it to one side. It is now here as it never was before, and it is now. Thus Ephesians 5, the sanctifying word, and the invitation which could not be given before come at exactly this time to the people of this hour, and it's vindicated that it is so. And Brother Branham kept telling us, always looking back, always looking forward, never recognizing the word of the hour, which is so important. The Catholics never recognized Luther. The Lutherans never recognized Wesley. The Wesleyans never recognized Pentecost. And the Pentecostal chap could not recognize the absolute proof of the resurrected wheat, which was in and through William Branham. He himself was not that resurrected wheat. He was not Jesus Christ come back in some kind of a cycle of reincarnation and all that kind of hooey. He was William Branham. But he does claim to have a succession, which we'll read about here as we go along. At least I trust we will. All right. And with the invitation come the robes, the making ready to go in. To try to go in without it means you'll only be cast out. And that's exactly true. You'll notice many people come at the white throne and they try to go in without this wedding garment, and he has to throw them out. Now remember, their wedding garment is not the word. Their wedding garment is works, which they have done by the power of the Holy Ghost, which they got from God, which God allowed to be conferred upon them. And having conferred it upon them, they now have become responsible. That's why it's so important to know who we are, what we are, and where we're going. So many people try to get into a ministry they have no call for. They try to do things they are not called to. And I'm going to tell you, all it's going to do is bring chaos. And those that are called to it won't obey, God will whip the daylights out of them until they start smartening up or take them off the scene. In other words, we do not fool with God, either on this side or the other side. And if we think we can get away on this side, we're going to meet it over on that side. Many people act as though there's no tomorrow. I got news for you, there is. And that tomorrow is a mighty long time. And we don't want to face it without having been truly born again of the Spirit of living God and walking in the light. Now, and the invitation came with the robes, the making ready. That's the making ready. Thus all things are ready for these new homes, these new bodies, which we will soon have to go into the great hall of God to the wedding supper. Only those who were and are in him will enter. The false anointed soul like the real will be turned aside. It is being done even now. And they are fully exposed, as was the man in Matthew 22 without the wedding garment. All of these guys that had the great ministries, where are they? They're gone. So you got punk little guys coming along, fat little boys from down south. All they can do is talk about foolish little things. They can't stand and discern because the discernment isn't in him. They cannot stand and say, thus saith the Lord, because it's not in them. They can't, don't even have the miracles and Oral Roberts and Tommy Hicks and Gail Jackson and Cole and all the Erickson and all these men I can mention. They are tiddlywink, crackpot, little forfeit. They are absolutely nothing in my sight but base little worms that raise up amongst the people. The people flock to them. Bleeding. God, what they believe. Fat women sitting on stoves and not getting burned. You think I haven't got a temper? You bet your sweet life I got a temper. And I can quote you scripture, cursed is the man whose sword does not draw blood. When you're in this fight. If any of you people turn to that hogwash and nonsense, I want to see your faces when you do it. I want to be down the road and see you face to face when you stand before God, having heard these sermons, and I stand with the word of the prophet, vindicated. And you fall for that tripe of nonsense. You never bleeding nothing in the first place. Sat in the congregation without a garment on. Why pretend? Isn't going to do you any good. There's an old slogan, it doesn't pay to advertise if you don't have the goods. It's called hypocrisy. It's called cheating. It's called lying. It's called deceiving. What are you going to produce as your evidence when it's already been produced? Oh, yes, these are serious times which we have. And this man came in and said, friend. Judas was a friend. Actually, he liked Jesus. The Bible said he kissed him with an affectionate kiss. Filio. It was a kiss of death. Do you just like this message? Is it entertaining? Is it nice? Or does it mean life and death? It means life. Remember when Brother Branham preached that? In More Than Life, he said that the deer that was caught by the wild hounds tore, and he wanted to get to the water. When he got to the water, he could make his blood fill up again enough to go through his body, and perhaps he could get healed and saved than he was. Oh, yes. There it is, here it is time for our earthly bodies to be dissolved. And it is certain he is thinking of his own demise. And you'll see that in his vision. But he tells us of bodies awaiting us if we go on in death before immortality finally takes over and death is defeated. O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? You don't have one. That's what we have right now. We're in the throes of the combat of the Holy Ghost through the Word here. No wonder we want Word piled on Word. Rich, living Word that the prophet gave us, the truth of the hour. Piling Word upon Word. Somebody's going to be standing here. He won't even need a resurrection. No. He tells it his vision concerning a heaven to go to, wherein he saw those word or spirit bodies of the departed saints, and he stood amongst them. All right, we're going to read it. Page 37, 117. Now, many of you know that the Lord has given me visions, thousands of those. And the greatest things, I used to fear death. About 3 years ago, you saw the Christian businessman pass the curtain of time. I realize I might not live through this night. I may never see you again in my life here. His death is coming up and he knows it. But this is true. I don't know whether I'd call this a vision or what it was. One morning recently, I just woke up. I'd come in from meetings and my wife was lying there asleep. And I said, honey, you awake? And she was still sleeping. I knew we had to get up to get the children off to school. And I put my hands back like this. That's behind his head, like we often do, hands folded together. Head resting on it. Well, say, Bill Branham, do you know that you're past 50? If you're going to do something for the Lord, you better hurry up, because you haven't got much more time. I thought, my, I hope I can live to see the coming of the Lord Jesus. I always had it in my mind that when we died, I'd see someone like my brother here, and he'd say, hey, you preached in my church one night down on earth, Brother Branham. But he's a spirit. I couldn't shake his hand, because his hand's out there in the grave rotted away. Mine, too. I used to kind of think like that. In other words, he was confused about the real properties that are there just beyond when you leave this body. But that morning when I felt something come over me and I thought, usually like a vision comes, and I looked and I looked and I thought, my, what is this? And I looked at the great green hills and young women just coming from everywhere by tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. And they were all coming, long hair hanging down their backs, white robes on, barefooted, screaming, hollering, brother, brother. And I thought, now this is strange. And I turned back around and looked, and there I laid right there. And there was my wife lying there on the bed. And I said, now, you know what? I died. And I said, that's what happened. I've died. And I said, I might have had a heart attack or something, but I've died. And there lies my body. I was just lying there with my hands back like that, see, just a stiff. I thought, well, that's not 20 feet from me where I'm standing now. And there I was looking. I thought, there's my wife. There's everything. There's my shirt hanging on that bedpost, like where he left it last night. And I thought, here I am here. I looked around, and these women all coming, and I looked this way, and there come my brothers, all genuine, all looked to be young men, screaming, our precious brother. Well, I didn't know what to think, and I thought, this is strange. I looked back, and I wasn't an old man. I was young. And I thought, this is a strange thing. I thought, is this a vision? I bit my finger, and I thought, no, it isn't the kind of vision I had. And then there's something began to talk to me up here and said, you've entered in with your people. And I thought, with my people, are all these Branhams? He said, they're your converts to Christ. And these women, you know, you've always been considered kind of, well, they call me a woman hater, but I'm not, see, because I believe, look, I don't like immoral, indecent women. I like real, genuine sisters. If that they're that way, it's all right. I had some scars when I was a kid. I know things that happened that's kind of turned me that way. That's against women. But it's all God's making, molding me for this hour, see? Now, I think a real genuine sister, there's nothing nicer. God could have given a man anything better than salvation, he gave him a wife, see? So then, if he could give anything better, he would have done it. And then to see some of them turn and don't even act like a wife, unloyal to their marriage vows and their husbands the same. In other words, you're off committing adultery like he talked about through Key Club. You remember, you're bound as long as you live to one another. What God joins on earth is joined in heaven also, see? Well, how much is joined in heaven? Marriage and divorce took care of that one. And so then I saw that, and these women ran up and were throwing their arms around me, hugging me and calling me brother. Now, they were women, but there can never be any sin in that place, see? See, they were women, you see? What made us now, a woman with a gland, a female gland, and a man with a male gland, is for raising children. There it won't be. They'll all be one gland. One life. But they'll still be in the form. Their earthly image that they bore here will be there. But there never can be sin there. You're all the same. There'll be no more children raised there, see? That's right. It'll all be that way, which is neutral. Neither male nor female. Jesus said that in the resurrection. So I looked, and these women, and they picked me up, these brothers, and set me upon a place and said, and I said, why do you do this? He said, in earth you were a leader for these people. These are the people that you led. That's the thought. It's kind of disjointed. Then some women came up and said, our precious brother, most beautiful woman, when she passed by, this voice said something. Do you remember her? And I said, no. The voice said, you led her to Christ when she was past 90. See? Can't you see why she said, precious brother? I said, well. And he breaks off, do you go? But he said, are you going to, what? Then they said, no, we are waiting here. In other words, are you going to go someplace? Are we going to go back on earth or something? That's his idea. But they said, no, we're waiting here. I said, well, I passed over. I want to see Jesus. Or since I passed over, I'd like to see the Lord. And the voice said, you can't see him now. This is the scripture that said, souls under the altar. Now remember, souls under the altar has two applications, one to the Gentiles, one to the Jews. Under the fifth seal, you saw the souls under the altar. So don't get confused. It's true in both cases, but there are two different places, evidently. This is the scripture that said, souls under the altar. He's just a little higher. Someday he will return. We'll go back to earth. We don't eat or drink here. Well, back to earth, you'll eat and drink. And I said, you mean I was afraid of this? Why this? There's no word to speak it, friend. Perfect wouldn't describe it. Sublime? There's no English vocabulary I know, no word at all that could ever express what it is. It's beyond anything I know. There he was. There was no sickness, no sorrow. You couldn't die. You couldn't sin. It was just perfect, just perfect. Friends, you mustn't miss it. Now, this is strictly evangelism, where the sign over the door is, whosoever will may come. But he can only take if the sign over the altar is saying predestinated of God, elect and predestinated. No invitation encompasses anyone except for whom the invitation is given. Blessed is the one man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Remember, when I was a little boy, I saw a vision of hell as a little boy. And you know how the ladies today, or the women, a lady wouldn't do a thing like that, paint their eyes like a wolf or something like that. Brother Branham actually said like a cat. And that blue stuff under their eyes. And that's what Jezebel did. She painted her eyes. I saw that. I was sinking. As a little boy, I'd been shot and I was lying dying in a hospital, and I always knew there was a God. I remember the first prayer I ever tried to pray, and the only thing I could say, I never told this before, I just feel like telling it right now. I was shot lying there dying in the field, and the only plea that I could have to God, I said, you know, Lord, I never did commit adultery. Now, he's only 15 years old, and he tried to live right, and I said, I've lived clean, and that's all I could say. That's all the merit I could offer him. Now, you keep wondering why about the adultery. He tells in another tape how that his dad peddled moonshine liquor, and the men and women out there who didn't belong to each other were lying together in sexual sins, and it really turned his stomach to see what people would do. And when he saw women so unfaithful, he lost all faith and said, well, is this what there is to women? What was in his own family between his mother and father and all these things, I don't know anything about. I don't know whether his father was out committing adultery, just selling the liquor where people got into it or anything else. I believe his mother was a good, clean woman. Well, he's his grandmother and all. I can't say too much about the situation there. All I know is what he saw around his father's still when he had to bring the water and things in. It was a terrible, hard thing on him. It's like you see many people today, and when their parents are so old, like and the kids are maybe 15, 16, a divorce takes place in the family, and the children go plumb to peace, just blows them plumb out of the universe. I've seen that happen, and you've seen it happen. Well, Brother Branham saw this and intuitively would know the terrible things that come from it. So at this particular point, he's very disillusioned with everybody. What is going on anyway? See, and then lying there, then when the doctor walked away from me and I felt myself sinking into dark eternity, it looked like, and I hollered for Papa, and oh, Papa, help me. There was no Papa there. Mama, help me. There's no Mama there. God, help me. There was no God there. It was just an endless, horrible nightmare. Burning, blazing hell would be a pleasure to be in there beside that, or instead of that. And falling through there. Now, there's just going down, 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 and no bottom, see? Just a sinking, terrible feeling. If you've ever, in your dream, ever been falling in your dream, you know what we're talking about. It's a most horrible, empty feeling. It's just like you might as well have a concussion because you're having it. And I thought, oh my, over and over like this, just going down, down, rolling like. And I got to a place, smoke and dark and sick. And oh, such a feeling. And it was death on me. And I could see these women coming up to me with those kind of painted eyes like that. Now, remember, that's been 45 years ago, but 40 years ago anyhow. And the going, going. Now, Brother Branham describes him, Danny Kaye had him on his program one time. And they were dressed like cats, and they had these cat's eyes. And Brother Branham speaks of this, they're going, ooh, 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 it's terrible, like devils coming. And they just came at you. You could see them coming. And as they came, they come right to your face, like huge face. And then the next one come, the next one. And that was on a TV screen. So I know exactly. I saw it when I was in Penny's, I think it was, sitting there many years ago. I think it was in Penny's store. And, or no, it was my own home, I guess. Then Brother Branham, though, was in Penny's store when he saw these Spanish women coming up the escalator with their eyes done the same way, and he got just deathly sick all over again and had to go because the vision came right back to him with that terrible diabolical structure there. So, all right, I know a little bit what he's talking about. And he said it was terrible. In other words, the feelings and the sight and all these things like these devils. And he said, am I to be here forever? And the voice answered, forever. And I said, oh God, if you'll let me out of here, I'll never be ashamed of you again. I'll never be ashamed. God, please give me a chance. And the first thing you know, I felt myself coming back up, and the doctor was alarmed because my heart was only beating 17 times a minute. I'd bled all my blood out and everything. I was lying in my own blood. And I wondered someday that would happen to me. Well, he did die in a car wreck. You know that. And he's telling us here, he wondered, it's a hint, the same as he all but told his wife, look, Needy, I'm going to be killed. You've got to face it. About 2 years ago, when I moved to Tucson, I was with him. He tells about it here, down to J.C. Penney's, and I was sitting there like that with my head down waiting, because you know how ladies, they shop a long time, and I was sitting there with my head down like this, the escalator coming up, and here came them those women with the water head haircuts, you know what they're like, and coming up with those painted eyes like that, and they were speaking Spanish, and the vision reoccurred. There it was. Same thing. Brother, sister, let me tell you something. It may be funny now. In other words, far-fetched, unbelievable, amusing to you. You just simply don't want to believe it. But once you get there, it won't be so funny. It's a serious thing. Don't you ever go that way. What way? The way of destruction. The way away from the word that is vindicated. Because what do you think brought on that vision of his? And then recurred with those women. It became an actual omega. Well, it's very simple. The putting on the short clothes and the cutting of the hair, which came at the same time. You know, the bobbed hair, the male haircut goes way, way, way back, the shingle. And it goes back at the same time. The skirts were going above the knees and everybody thought it was great. Well, the time the women did that and shaved their hair, they destroyed all their virtue. That's why you've got the world the mess it is today. And it's going to keep getting worse. Me, an old man, a minister, I've preached around the world, got millions of friends, but I know I've got to stand with you yonder. Get away from all the things of the world. Hey? And remember, it started with the hair and the dress. Watch where it is today. Now, I realize, and I've said before, symptomatic. What you see is the same like smoking and cursing and stealing and adultery, all those things symptomatic. Symptomatic of the original sin of unbelief. Unbelief in what? The word. Unbelief in God? No. The devil didn't tell Eve there was no God. Just twisted the word. Get away from the things of the world. Now remember, he's equated the cosmos of the world with the perverted word, which is exactly what it is. Because the cosmos world either perverts the word or cannot take it, period. Now, get away from those things of the world. And if there is something in you that you still want to act the way you acted, you do have the things of the world in you. Remember, you're none of God's. You're just a church member. Until that call, that deep calling to the deep. Now, here's the definitive. Now, we went over there to Norway one time, and there was this guy. I'm not going to tell you his name because it's no secret. His name is Levi Larson, and his wife was Mrs. Larson, of course. And she said she was so arthritic, she said she couldn't comb her hair, so she chopped it off. And then, of course, the next thing is you wear slacks and what have you. And I know she's wearing slacks at that time, but my wife raised the question about these women wearing slacks. And she said, Sister Dale, she said, nobody's going to tell me these lovely Pentecostals over ladies here don't have the Holy Ghost and aren't they? Well, of course nobody's going to tell her. If you took a 4x4 and beat her head in and put a computer in there and punched it in, she'd find a way to get rid of the computer. She couldn't even be a robot to it, let's face it. Now, if you're sitting here wondering and not agreeing with me, there's something wrong with you. You don't think the same thoughts I think. You don't have the same spirit of God. I'm telling you what the prophet said. You're none of God. Eh? So, now if the church, the women are symptomatic, don't tell me we're not going to have women showing themselves, exposing themselves, and just like eating a piece of cake. That's what the whore did. She sold herself, and then like a person eating a chunk of bread, a little bit of butter gets on the lips, she wipes it off, and that's the end of the deal. Just like eating. Hey, nothing to it, it's okay. I got news for you. Vindication says different. So the question is, why do you want to expose yourself? What all these beauty contests going on? Beauty skin deep. See, now listen, until that call, that deep calling to the deep, See? Now, the deep calling to the deep will recognize the vindicated prophet, but is it too simplistic? And so little mysterious, or no, there's no mystery to it. So non-glamorous. We're not challenging enough for the church typed by the women for their dress and their hair. Teach them the big things, the spiritual. How to operate gifts. They don't even believe the scripture says you can speak in tongues and cast out devils and look like Jesus Christ himself. Literally. And go to hell. Sure. Son of perdition was. He talked about EBCs. Now the next little paragraph. Now watch about the deep conduit. Like before there was a fin on a fish's back, there had to be water for him to swim in, or he never had a fin. What's he saying? If there hadn't been a deep for you to call to, you wouldn't have a deep. Huh? It's impossible. It's impossible to have a deep if they're not in you without there's something coming out there. There's no such thing as a question without an answer. Of course, not even a question. There's no such thing as a thing that's lost that can't be found. There's no such thing then as it being lost because there's nothing to lose. See? Now, before there was a tree to grow in the earth, there had to be an earth to grow in. Or there wouldn't have been a tree to grow in. There'd be no reason for a tree. Before there is a creation, there has to be a creator. And the point is then, if there has to be a creator, he puts something in here that would look to the creator. Then if there's nothing in there but atheism, agnosticism, and perversion, there's no deep calling to a deep, there's nothing in you. See? You ain't got no fins. You'd see a fish, let's say he's outside the water, and he's got fins. He'll head for the water. If there's a deep called God out there, and there's something in here, there's going to be a honing in and a homing in on God. Now watch, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. How can you thirst after what isn't to be thirsted for? How can you thirst for water if there's no water? How can you hunger for something there isn't of? Like the boy, Brother Brandon, talked about eating the bicycle pedal. He needed sulfur, so he chawed on it. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? Because they'll be filled. He said, there's something in it. You raised your hand a while ago, saying, I want more of God. See, there's something needy. Now watch. And if you love the world and going that way, and the things of the world, and the world travel, you'll go, and in the fall, you'll be. Now, he talked about that fall, see? Come out, your sons and daughters of the king. What if they're not? What if there's a call in there, it's calling for something else? What about Cain? He had a call. He even went to the word of God and perverted it. And spit in God's face. Cain is no different than what happened in that man's meeting. Yeah. Why is your brother Bill? I know just can't be because Cain and God came down. Oh, shut up. Do you understand that if God's in a man or God's in a pillar of fire or God's in a brass ball, it's still God? Huh? You really realize that? Huh? And don't let your thinking go stupid. Whirlwind? Water? Rain? Cloud? A man. What's the difference? God's God. No problem. These people, they're just like Cain. They had a deep in there. And their deep was a billion miles off of God. And they still claimed it was God. Like many come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied, cast out devils? Yeah, but Balaam was just like you and the rest of them. Go on. Go away. Never knew you. Never were in the books. So how can I be known of you? See? Now he said, you are sons and daughters of the king. See? Now, the people Brother Branham was talking to in majority that night, I am convinced that their hunger proved errant. It was an error. That their appetite was for the world. The women in their dress and the men condoning it finally blossomed into this guy whose mother was the Christian Missionary Alliance preacher in Miami. Her name was Berg. And his name was Berg, and he changed himself to Moses Berg. And he got around him all these filthy people, especially girls. And he said, be little fishers of men for God. Take off your clothes and have sexual intercourse, which they did. They were fishing for men. Same thing the Lutheran church did when they had a woman worship God by dancing naked. Condoned by the ministry. Now you think that's an aberration because it is far stretched, very crude, but very real. I say, where did it come from? Cut hair, immodest clothing. And the men not standing up as head of the house and head of the church and standing with the word because their doctrine was so filthy and corrupt. And the church has sold generations of young people to hell. And now the Baptists are trying to get 100,000, maybe they'll try to get hundreds of thousands of young people to take the pledge of chastity, which they're doing. But I wonder how chaste they're going to be when the red hot hormone starts sizzling. But they're not born again in the first place. Church members. Live like Christians. Act like Christians. I'll meet you at the judgment with these remarks. Just a minute, he said those remarks right now. White Jones on right now. You know why it's on right now? Because it's all over. The judgment has been passed. Paul's gospel has judged the world by one Christ Jesus who is the Word. So, Brother Bill, I don't really believe that. You don't have to believe nothing. I believe it. How could Brother Branham say, I indict this generation, say the same pillar of fire brought the word, the Paul is here revealing it, and this not be it? Can't you put the scripture together and realize? Can't you realize if I talk about one cup of sugar, one half cup of butter, two eggs, and a cup of flour, and a half a teaspoonful of vanilla, and a quarter cup of milk, what do you think I'm doing? Making a brick? Well, it may look like a brick, but it's a cake. Sure to heaven you can understand that. Huh? Why, certainly we can. See, they get fooled by the ABCs. He said, I'll meet you. That's not a promise, that's a threat. Or rather, a judgment. Look in your looking glass tonight. Which way am I headed? You're supposed to ask that question. Now, there's two looking glasses. Paul said, James said, he said, don't be like the world, that a worldly man looks in the glass and turns away, promptly forgets what manner of man he is. And then Paul says, when the veil is lifted, you're looking in the true glass of the perfect word, revelation, and there you see Christ, and there you see the reflection, and you see your relationship, your oneness with him. As Brother Branham distinctly said in his ministry, and he taught us, he came the same way as we did, except he bypassed that theophonic form, and there he is in the midst of the church, singing praise unto God, and worshiping and loving us, because all of us belong to God, one Father. My, that's looking in the mirror. That's looking in the mirror and not forgetting every time you come here, and word upon word, you're getting more and more full of the Holy Ghost, on condition that you receive the word and don't want to be shown. So I don't think Brother Vail's telling the truth, even though he's reading Brother Branham. Hey, it's not going to do you a bit of good. You're going to get condemned all the more. Why don't you stay home? I'd suggest you stay home and get drunk rather than come here and get condemned. Huh? Well, certainly. I would sooner just leave here and be branded as a hypocrite. A double, as Brother Branham calls it from the book of James. Which way am I headed? Is Jesus preparing a place for me, a body? And that body's perfect. That body walks orderly. It's a son or daughter before God. and I'm in birth pains in here to be born into that body there. If I still love the world, it shows me that I have no body there. I'm just a church member. I wasn't a germ of God in the first place. I'm not. And he is not my father. Now, that's definitive. That's a blank statement. It's not something we can take or leave or simply cope with in a certain little frame of mind. It's something, if I said tonight, listen, I'm going to tell you people, if you don't have a $300 bill in your wallet, I'm going to shoot you right between the eyes because I'm Sancho Panza, whatever what it was. I'm here from down below the line. I'll bore you between the eyes. Now, nobody's got $100 bills. I'm going to shoot all of you. Right? That's this. This is death. This is a death sentence. Every sentence of life carries a death penalty. Why? Left hand, right hand, right? You follow me? Let us ask God to come and see if he leaves a blessing or a curse. Find me one place where God comes without Mount Abel and Mount Gerizim. Show me one place there aren't two vines. Huh? You can't do it. So, all right, he's telling you right here. I'm just a church member. See? There it is. Now watch. Now watch what he says. He's not my father. Now listen to what he's saying here. He's furthering the condemnation. He's getting real tough. He said, if you cannot stand correction, chastisement, that's what you're getting now, then you're bastard children and not the children of God. Illegitimate to the word. Oh, did they love that? Why, I could just see their tongues hanging out for more water of life and running to the altar. You weren't there. You're better than being there because you're getting this all broken down to you. He said, if you're not listening to what I've preached here, if you're not understanding all your talking in tongues and all your baptism and everything else, that's merely temporal. That happened down here. But if you didn't have what came from God himself, which is eternal, you're missing all down the road. You can talk all you want, scream all you want, dance all you want, talk in tongues, and you can use the Spirit of God to raise the dead, do every type of miracle. But you yourself are not the child of God. And the little simple test I'm giving you, can you take the ABCs and then go on to algebra? Do you think for 15 seconds those men there who would not change their minds and take the true doctrine, and those women that tee-heed about their clothes and became sex symbols and poofed around, sluts from the gutter as they were spiritually speaking, going out and true to their husbands and boyfriends and things, do you think for 1 minute that they could take this word and trace their ancestry back to God? I tell you, no! They couldn't take the vindicated word. Oh, what's this got to do with it? Oh, what this got to do with it? Well, you're so big, you tell me something. Give me a thus saith the Lord and show me something. In fact, I can put most people on the table right now. If I wanted to, I believe God would back me up. A little praying and fasting, I'd call a prayer line here. Stand like I used to stand. So why'd you do it, Brother Dale? For a bunch of heathen unbelievers? You got to be kidding. I'm a teacher of the Word of God. Those ministries are all finished. I'm not interested, except I feel sometimes to pray for sick. Hey, I'm dying myself with certain things. They even puzzle me. Doesn't mean anything. If I got that gene in me, just as sure as a prophet stood here and said it, I can say the same thing. I'm looking for that body. Not an illegitimate child. Isn't that right? Doesn't the Bible say this? If you cannot stand the chastisement, the correction of God, when you see the scripture lining up and you say, oh, I don't want to hear that stuff. I'm a Christian. I do this, that. Well, all right, go ahead. See, it's one sure evidence that you're not a child of God, but a real child of God is hungering and thirsting for what? For this. Right. Is this what I've been thirsting for all my life? Was this the prophet I was looking for to open the book because I knew no one but a prophet could open those pages and tell us the future? Is since I was 22 years of age. I waited from age 22, that'd be 1936, all the way to 1963. And I didn't even bother trying to figure anything out because I knew a prophet would have to do it. And I didn't even know there'd be a prophet. I just knew to take one to do it. See? All right, let's keep reading here. A real child of God is hungering and thirsting. Why? If there's something in your heart telling you you want it and it needs there, there's a need there and you want that fulfillment, it shows there's something pulsating, trying to pull you there. There's a body there, for this one is a type of here. In other words, you got one here, there's one calling you over there. What are you using this one for? To glorify the devil, the world, the fashions and things? Or are you looking toward heaven? And there's something up there, you're glorifying God with your life. In other words, there's something up there, we glorify God. Now, the major premise is not, look, kids, there's no such thing as talking in tongues. There is. No such thing as praying for sick. There is. No such thing as prophecy. There is. All these things are there. But that's not it. The big it is concerning the vindicated word. That's where you start with the passive faith. If you don't have the passive faith, which is the true word of God, the true revelation, the true doctrine, I don't care how active you are, that throws the whole thing into limbo. Unless you're a foolish virgin, then you won't be standing on saying, hey, look what I did. You'll be surprised to hear him say, oh, you visited me in the hospital. What? Oh, yes, I was hungry, and you gave me food. What? Not blah, 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 I did this. Blah, 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 I did that. Open the mouth against God. And when God opens his mouth to the foolish virgin, I don't get it. When? Where? What are you talking about? Oh, surprise, surprise. That's a beautiful surprise prayer. Yes, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 takes you right to the whole chapter of chastisement. And then it goes to Esau, the fornicator. Esau, the one who turned it down. Jacob, the one, little old Jacob, took it. Now, no glorifying God with a life that doesn't line up to the word. In my father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. But it is so, and I'm telling you. And I'll go and prepare a place you and come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am there meet you may be also. Things that are to be, these things that are now, are only potential calling for the things that are to be, based on what is now, and he declared it. In other words, he said, I would not have spoken this to you, except it's in the Bible. And I am here telling you all about it, so that you will know. And I want you to know this, if you go in death, you will go to a marvelous place where you will have that spirit or that word body, what you missed. No temptation there. Everything perfect, wonderful. And if you're standing here, then you can go on with your body changed right here while you're standing. And you will then come to two positive conditions concerning this scripture, of which Brother Branham said all scripture has a compound meaning. Number one, we go to the house. This house here. Dissolve. We go to the other house. Then come back to pick up this one completely dissolved and recreated. Then we go to the millennium. And we build houses and we work. And we all have a work ethic. Because it's built in us. You think God put Adam in the garden to till the soil? And he created a bum whose hands, like the fella said, I just can't take up that hoe. He said, it tickles my hands and I just have to drop it. You know, oh, they'll tell you anything. Don't like to work, lazy bums. Do you think God put a man in the garden without a work ethic? Well, he said in his word, a man doesn't work, he can't eat. I'm telling you, the Bible's full of God's provision, but men don't want to go God's way. That's the whole trouble, any more than the women do. There's where the men mess up. Men should be fighting the wars, not the women. They're the ones that should be doing the things, watching the stuff, not the women. But no, they let it go. It was nice and easy. Yeah, well, that's the age in which we live, so it's all right. But now we as serious people can begin to buckle down, knowing there's a God in heaven who's serious-minded. We're serious-minded, and he's vindicated and proved himself, and his word is absolutely true. It's coming to pass and will come to pass very short. Now he said, let us pray. Think seriously, will you, dear Christian friend? Think real seriously just a moment. Let's read, be real quiet, but let the Spirit speak. Now the Lord Jesus sent me to you Pentecostal people long ago. Listen to it. Get now? Here's one of your boys that's come up to be your pastor and said, resulted from my ministry. He saw the Lord Jesus open blind eyes. Make, he said, the water head shrink right up. I still have healing services, but I realize I prayed for many people that were very sick. They were healed, and the Lord answered prayer and healed the sick. But you know, some of those people are healed, have already died. And no matter how sick you are, if you're healed, you're going to die anyhow. But that soul, my precious brother, that soul, my precious sister, won't you think about it now? That's eternal. Well, that's true, but it's not true. There's only one real eternal soul, and that comes from God, because he alone is eternal. And so he's talking now to people here, no doubt, believing that they're really definite believers. Now remember, you can destroy body and soul in hell, and if you could destroy something, it would be eternal. So we understand Brother Branham is talking now as the evangelist here. He's not being specific 100% as he's teaching up above, but it's all right anyway. Just take it there. That's eternal. The soul is. In other words, that's the part that you agree is what lives on. So put it that way. If that love of God's not in there, there's nothing pulling. You won't ask God, oh God, start me over anew tonight. I love you, Lord. I want to love you. There's something in my heart tells me I was closer to you. I want to come right now, Lord, and do that. Now many people can answer that. When they come to the Word, though, remember, there's a period of sanctification. Remember, the Bible talks about sowing the Word, and it falls upon concrete. The birds get it. It falls upon in the rocks and things. It springs up and it dies. The cares of life come by and destroy. But then there's a Word that falls in the real believer, like he's preaching this night, and it's going to bring forth mature, because the Word of God must come forth somehow, somewhere, because it cannot return void. It's going to bring somebody back to him. See, going to bring that child back. If that person or persons are in this building or out of the building, I ask you as a servant of Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, will you just with your head bowed raise up your hand to God and say this much, draw me nearer and nearer, dear Lord. I want to align with everything that you have in your word. Raise your hand now, just be real honest. Now there again, is this catch 22 or what are we looking at? Any number could do it. But let's keep on going, because he's hoping there might be somebody there, just one person. And that's good. Just think, now you say, oh, I've done this. I've shouted in the Spirit. I've spoken in tongues. But look, there's something lacking in my life. I look in the mirror of God's Word. I know there's something. I go to church, but I'm not what I should be. See, everybody could say that very same thing. See, that shows something. Now, if you can look at yourself and see you're not lined up with God's Word, there's something in there that will cause you to raise your hand, then you know there's something wrong. Mother used to say, you can't get blood from a turnip because there's no blood in it. See, think of it real seriously. This might be your last opportunity. 30 or 40 hands been up in this little group, even the clergyman. Just be real reverent just a moment. Now think real straight. Dear God, I might be killed tonight in an accident. Brother Branham was. Next, very shortly, I may die of a heart attack. One of the mornings, I may call the doctor to come and my pulse is beating up my sleeve. I'm gone. I'm pressing my cheek against the pillow and say, oh God, oh God, oh God. See, that's my heart making its last beat. You're coming to that great door. You'll never come out unless you're born again of the Spirit of God. You'll never come out unless there's something in you. After you're born of the Spirit of God, hungering and thirsting to go on with God. Now, just a minute. He said a while ago, that doesn't count. That's temporal. Right? Now, he's using evangelistic appeal. Not perverting Scripture. He's talking to people. It's over their heads, 10-1, what he said. If you didn't have that back there in eternity, forget about the baptism. Forget about everything. 1,000 times a day anointed. Call it the baptism. It's temporal anyway. What good does it do in the day of judgment? I never knew you. Oh, Lord, I got the Holy Ghost. I've been baptized. Yes, sir, I speak in tongues. Forget it. I never knew you. You weren't one of my children. So he's talking to these people in language they understand. So just don't worry about it. You're going to understand the whole thing. Now, see, you're a child in the earth, in the bowels of the earth, waiting to be born into the kingdom of God. For he's gone to prepare another body for you that's a perfect body. Now think real deep, and let's pray together. Now he's talking again about that place prepared. In other words, people want something better. They want to get out of this pest house. They want a reality. They're looking for the millennium. The thing I said to Brother Branham, I said, wouldn't it be just marvelous if we hadn't had sin in the Garden of Eden? We could have come up the right way. We could have been born and raised our children right. Everything just in divine order, without this sin and all these things in the world. What a tremendous way. Oh, I said it here, you're talking about the millennium. See, there was an interruption or we would have had it. He should have had that seed, the royal ruler, and everything would have been in divine order, but she blew it. You say, well, how could she have it? Because the word of God said they would rule the earth, and no one but him will rule the earth. Therefore, she should have had him, right? That was the word. Merciful heaven, I hope you people begin to follow the truth. See? I look at this truth, and if I thunder at you for one reason, that you may understand and get with it, see? Think real deep, he said. You want it. Was there something in here in the first place that reaches and takes this word? That's the thing. People thought they took this word. I can name you preachers right now back in Pentecost. They said, this won't work. They got to speak in tongues and jump up and down. This does work. And if it's not working in you, go someplace and speak in tongues and see what happens. Go where the fat ladies sit on red hot stoves. Go where the preachers lie to you and feed you hogwash. Or reconstituted chicken manure turned into protein. Is that what you want? You can have it. Oh, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. From dwelling in my own Beulah. You do what you want. Far away the noise of strife upon my ear. Ain't even falling. Yeah. Amen. Here he prays, dear God, as I know that this is paged on the book, the great record, we have blundered into science, Lord, enough to wake us up. Hear that? For reality is to know that every move that we make goes round and round the world the same time we make it. He got that through television. We do realize, Father, that television doesn't manufacture picture. It only channels the vibrations into a tube that makes the picture. Even the color clothes we got on shows through the ether waves of the air, that vibration around the world. Then how is our sisters with their clothes on acting like that and not even hungering, painted faces and cut hair, and then say they're hungering for God? What's showing up on the screen, God's great screen? Ministers that go to theology, some seminary, take the things of man's word. There's your men now. Which makes, by their tradition, makes a commandment of God of no effect upon the people. Why do the women go that way? There's no word of God left. By their tradition, saying they should belong to a church and all that, oh God, do they realize that every word we say scientifically proven is on a record? And it starts when we start living in this earth. It starts when we die. It ends when we die. And God puts it in his album to be played back again at the judgment. Do you realize that down in London one time, they had a television show showed up on a screen that came from Texas? No one know how it got there, but the strange thing was, that film was showed in Texas 6 years before it hit London. Figure it out. Oh, the world's smart. Hey, no God. Hey, man, we're scientific. Hey, shut up, you're dead. Yeah. See? How are we going to escape it? The damnation of God. If the thing has been made so clear before us, and yet we turn it down. Oh, dear God, these words never die. They go on and on. The record will play at the day of judgment. It's the only time it's going to be destroyed when it's all over. You see, you saw the hands go up, Father. It'll be right there at the day of judgment. See, they said they were hungering for it and turned down what was there. And what were they hungering for? Their own way, their own ideas, their own theology, and telling God what to do. Hey, there's not just one Sanhedrin of 70 people. There's a Sanhedrin today of millions of people telling God. Sure, also what their heart was thinking will be at the day of judgment. Now, Father God, I ask you, in other words, thinking about him and the word, I ask you as your servant, I pray that you will take all the iniquity away from your people. Iniquity, something that we know we should do and don't do it. In other words, believe the word, we don't do it. David said, if I conceive iniquity in my heart, God will not answer my prayer. I pray, God, that you'll take our iniquity, because the word is your looking glass that shows us up. See? I told you. How short we are of being sons and daughters of the king. Father, I pray you'll do it tonight. And make that an altar, because the altar is sitting full of people. And make that altar there in the chair where they're sitting. Make their hearts of theirs the altar. In other words, the whole building full of people. May the world move off of every brother and sister in there. And may that little germ of life, the gene of God we just talked of, that attribute that came down from God and has been manifested there to honor and glorify God, God move the world from them. In other words, take the heart of unbelief away. The others I cannot pray, Lord, because the sickness is unto death, and there's nothing there that causes them to move. Now, watch what he's saying. There's some sitting right here, he said, you haven't got it, never will have it. He could discern, he knew right there. But those who can move and know that it's wrong, clean their heart and their souls tonight, Father, they may be filled with your Spirit and walk in the light. Now, how are they going to get filled with the Spirit? Word upon word upon word upon word. Bless this dear, healthy, strong-looking pastor, Lord. This young man influenced said, but what he saw you do. This fine young man, O Lord, set his soul afire. Grant it, Lord. May he be a true shepherd, continue thee all the time to feed the flock which the Holy Spirit's made him overseer over. See, he's a servant of God, whether he serves him or not. He's put there by God. Grant it, Lord. May he not turn left or right. No way for creed or nothing else but the unadulterated word to come from his mouth and that only. Bless him, God, him and his loved ones, his little church here, be with them all, Father. This man could go right ahead, disbelieve Brother Branham, and think this Brother Branham's prayer is being answered. I don't say that's the way it is, but you better believe it's possible. See, I commit this to you, Father. The seed has been sown. May it fall upon that seed that was ordained to life and grow strong Christians for this assembly here and other assemblies where they come from. Granted, Lord, I commit it to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hey, he's talking to God who's got a son, right? He didn't say God the Son. Two gods. Oh, brother. And Father, he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, chastened for our peace upon him, with his stripes we are healed. I saw moving through the door a few minutes ago, a poor nervous woman, oh God, into her own family, what great things has been done there already. See, how you manifested yourself. I pray, God, that woman, take away all that back past of life, Lord, and heal her tonight. Will you, Lord, take her to you? I see little children sitting here, Lord, needing healing. Others, I pray you'll heal them, Father. Grant it. May your great healing power come and heal both soul and body. And now to you who are in the church here outside the building, seeing cars with some type of broadcast, and need healing, I want you to raise your hand. I need healing, Brother Branham. Look, everybody, he does. All right. Would you believe me to be a servant of Christ? Say amen. They said amen. Then I want you to lay your hands on one another. Just lay your hands over in each other. You raise your hands. That's inside, outside. You raise your hands. You believers in God. Jesus Christ said in his last commissioned church, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, to believe, baptized, shall be saved, you believe, shall not be damned. And these signs shall follow and believe in my name, they'll cast the devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, drink deadly things, won't harm them. Lay hands upon the sick, they shall recover. Now, Jesus said that. Remember, he said that. Not somebody else. The vindicated Christ. This has to be. He wouldn't have said it, lest there was somebody going to catch that word. Just like the womb of Mary caught the germ. Now that's marvelous. See right there. That's the way if we had that kind of service here, you should catch, lay hands. That's what he said. I'm going to do it. And then let him finish the work. Because I've done what he told me to do. See, let the germ catch it. See, we don't have healing hands. We have a healing God. See, I'm a believer. See, up here. Someone's going to catch that word. Just like the womb of Mary caught the germ, a virgin shall conceive. Like a palm tree could be created and an oak tree on a hill. His word did it. His word can catch into your heart right now. I'm a believer, Lord. This man and woman I got my hands on, they're suffering. I'm not praying for myself because they're praying for me. I'm praying for her, for him. Oh God, heal him, heal her. And I'm a believer now. We're assembled. We've just been taught that we were with Christ when he walked on earth, for we are a part of his word. Now see, he hit in the deep right here in this little prayer for the people. We suffered with him. We bled with him. We died with him. We were buried with him, risen with him. And we're sitting together in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. That's actually the truth of Ephesian church. In Christ Jesus, the great king sitting here in our midst. Oh, my, isn't that marvelous? He's here. And I am a son and daughter of this king, and I have my hands on a son or daughter of a king that's praying for me, and I'm praying for them. Now, Lord, answer my prayer. Heal the son of God, this daughter of God. Let's pray together now, one for another. Lord Jesus, we humbly come confessing our wrong. We come confessing we're worthy of sickness and death and sorrow. We're accepting your propitiation for our sins and sickness. Tonight, these sons and daughters of God sitting near here in the correction of the word, raising their hands and wanting a closer walk, they're laying hands on each other because they believe your word to be true. They believe they're now risen with Christ sitting in heaven in place with him. They got their hands on one another, praying for another. You said the prayer of faith shall save the sick and God will raise him up, and if he did any sin, be forgiven him. Confessing your faults one to another, pray one to another, you might be healed. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He's pouring on the scripture. Oh, O eternal God, hear the prayer of your servant, and now it's written again. If the people that's called by my name shall assemble themselves together and pray, they'll hear from heaven. O God, hear the prayer of your children tonight from heaven. Send down the Holy Ghost upon this ice like a rushing mighty wind. And we bring these people before God. Satan, you are defeated. You're a defeated being. Jesus Christ conquered you at Calvary. Calvary, you have no power. You're bluffed for calling your hand tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, come out of this people here, you sickness, diseases, and they may go free in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No doubt many people were free. Hallelujah. Feel the glory of God. Feel your prayer answered. Do you believe God answered the person sitting by you? How many believe it? Raise up your hand. There you are. That is wonderful. How many of you feel that God has forgiven your iniquities, the things that you've done from this night on? See, now that's very, very necessary. O Lamb of God, I promise to walk upright. I walk in honor of the name, in that name that I'm called a Christian, Christ-like. I raise my hands, God, dedicate myself to you and you tonight, and I walk in light. Just you'll notice right there, that does not guarantee perfection. That doesn't guarantee perfection. That just means you're more consecrated, you'll be more careful, there'll be a closer walk. But you still have that mediator, that intercessor. Oh my, you know I'm just an old-fashioned guy. I like to think we've got that, I think that's got all the new chopped up fandango rock and roll impersonation beat a million miles. He's talking about that. My faith looks up to the Lamb of Calvary, not these rock and roll songs. Though, my goodness, if he felt bad then, he should feel bad now. The songs you hear today are hoo-wee. Forget it. Those old poets that wrote those songs, the Holy Spirit touched that pen and began to write. And I think of Eddie Pruitt and Fanny Crosby, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. One time they were trying to get to her. She didn't do like the Pentecostal Elvis Presley, sell her birthright for a mess of Cadillacs. I come to her and wander to write worldly songs. She said, wouldn't do it for anything. Well, you're blind. When you get to heaven, how are you going? She turned around under inspiration and said, I shall know him, I shall know him. In other words, how are you going to know him? You're blind. And by redeemed by his side, I shall stand, and so on. Doesn't it make you love him? Gone to prepare a place for us. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll return again, receive unto myself. Little children in travail now, obey the commandments of God. The pastor, if none of you have been baptized in water, will be ready. And membership for the church, whatever you want to do, whatever you're doing. If you haven't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, this is the night to receive it. Don't you believe that? Oh, you say, Brother Branham, it's late. You preached too long. Paul preached all night one night. The same kind of message. A young man fell off the wall and killed himself. And Paul got so anointed with that kind of message, laid his body upon him, life came back to him. In other words, he's guaranteeing that'll happen that night too. He's still Jesus Christ, him yesterday and perfect. You love him? In other words, by what he did, you can tell how he was conducting himself. Let's just raise our hands and sing, I love him, I love him. Where's the piano? So on. How many love him? Now let's sing it to the glory of God now with our eyes closed, our hands to heaven. I love him, I love him. Well, worship him. We'll worship him. When you preach and cut and tear and pull like that, this is a balm that God pours in, just heals. There's a balm in Gilead for the soul. Let's now sing it. You give me the chord. So Brother Branham closes off this sermon here. And you can tell by the fact that he died shortly afterward that much of this was a continuation in a great degree to the sermon on the rapture because it followed it. And Brother Branham was pressing the entire point there that people might come to the understanding of the true doctrine. And of course, we realize that not so many did, but since he's been gone, the message has proliferated, and we believe that many people are attempting, and are not only attempting, but I believe fruitfully, preaching the word as Brother Branham preached it. And so now the people are growing up into the stature of that perfect man as the body of Christ and as individuals. And we have this consolation. It's the only consolation, only faith we have. He said it. And it was vindicated. So therefore, if you want to be truly full of the Holy Spirit, and we're not talking about baptism now. That's the start. And the evidence of being truly baptized, believing the word. If you really believe the word, you'll pile word upon word. Now, that's where you get the understanding, Brother Branham said, that we ought to be so anxious to come to church, we can't wait for the church doors to open. I think we're getting to the place we're only too anxious to have the church doors closed. Find some reason, some excuse, or something to do on Sundays and weeknights to stay away. Now, that's perfectly okay. If that suits your nature, fine. I will not argue with you. But I'm going to tell you one thing right here. Brother Branham categorically said what I quoted. You can do what you want about it. I'm not going to whip anybody. Not going to charge anybody. But I tell you, if you get feeling barren, if you get the chips down on you, If things reverse on you, you know one reason. God's trying to get you to come to the water to drink. But if you don't want that, then I'm sorry. Now, I don't know how many people on tapes or what have you will even listen and desire these things. But the point is, I'm not lying to you. It's been vindicated what he said. You pile word upon word, or I'm telling you, forget it. Now, it's just that simple. Why do you think in Israel was told to put the phylacteries, little boxes with messages in them, right here on their brow? Because then, boing, 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 remember the word. There was scripture in there. Bind them upon your wrists. Bind them upon your anklets. And the priests had the bells on the garment. Why did they have these little lamps on their toes? They were a word-oriented people to whom the word of God came and said, look, this is what's going to get you in there, and this is what's going to keep you there. Now remember, the word perverted got a man to the wedding garment, to the wedding, and without the real word, the garment, they booted him out. He got there and he got booted up. They're going to get before the white throne and plead. Now listen, I got the scripture here, and I cast out devils also. It got them there, and they get booted out. You follow what I'm saying? The word puts you in and keeps you in. Huh? All right. I take these types seriously. And I've never preached any scripture to my knowledge. I haven't found Brother Branham saying it. Now, the next thing is, did I have the right understanding? Well, hey, that's up for grabs. I'm not vindicated. But if I'm supposed to be a teacher, Brother Branham said, so why would God Almighty give me words in this book here, go back and forth to Brother Branham, and the thing be not right? Well, like to fool me and to fool you. And there again the question comes, how many being fooled? I'm perhaps one of the most disliked people in all the world. You think a church that begins to believe something about the presence will call Lee Dale? No, I got too mad, too rotten a spirit. They'll call somebody else they think believes it. That's their business. I'm happy because I likely wouldn't go anyway. I'm too tired, too old. That's my excuse. At least I got that much going for me, 80 years of age. So we're looking at, see? Take that number 666 before you go home. What's 3 times 6? 18, right? What's 1 and 8? That makes 9, right? Is there a number beyond 9? No. No. You go to a 0. Sounds like everything's fulfilled, eh? Is this the beginning of the end? Oh, my, I hope so. I hope so. You know, I'm wicked. I know I'm positively wicked and mean. But you know, I get so tickled in a certain sense of the word, believing it's the end and seeing this thing end up in the lake of fire, even if I get thrown in, just to know that, hey, he's right. There's got to be somebody somewhere that's right. There's got to be something that's pure that really works. See, well, Brother Bill, is that all you want? I don't want much more. I said, man, you're a funny guy. I'm a very funny guy, I admit it. I don't have any great plans, great ideas, great anything about myself. But something burns. A little candle I got. It'd be so nice to see God come forth vindicated. He's already done it here. I'm talking now about blowing the universe into gases. Oh, man. I want to be like the little old lady nut in her fruitcake down in West Palm Beach when they had that tremendous hurricane, you know, where the wind came in. Nobody understood hurricane back in 29 or so when it was. The hurricane came in and took Lake Okeechobee all the way from the east to the west. And they watched the water grow. But they didn't know the same thing would bring it back. And they all drowned on both sides. And this old gal, everything blown down, and the palm trees, everything, buildings, the building splitting because they didn't know you should open the doors and windows. I saw a house down there years afterward. It had a big crack in it. It wasn't so bad they had a record. And she went on the street and she began dancing and praising God. And they said, boy, look at that old fruitcake. What in the world would she do that for? In this destruction. Gee, I'm not looking at that. She said, if a wind could do this, what could my God do? I think she was a fruitcake, but she had maybe the right idea. You know? Maybe she wasn't so fruity after all. Just some of the fruit was fermenting. Which is all right, turns to wine. If you keep wine long enough, it's still good. Right? Okay, let's praise the Lord. Let's be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the time we have together and working this message, Lord, very rapidly, because we went through the prayer and saw some things there too. But see, Lord, in this message, we just ask one thing, O God. Our minds are really, Lord, a mess. And they have been so full of everything that has been in the peripheral that we kind of like a centrifuge, we spin it and goes off into space. But Father, this word is the gold, the heavy, heavy, heavy particle. And we're praying that it won't be like a centrifuge and get spun off in space, but it'll go right down into our hearts, and as it goes down, it will sear our memories like an iron pen upon rock or slate, so that it's graven with the engraver's tool of the Holy Spirit, that we could no more forget this word and the understanding of it, the truth of it. Never mind the application, Lord, because we know to apply this is not the thing. We can't apply a revelation except in the sense what we're talking about. Overcoming and taking our minds over completely, getting down into the soul and the heart and becoming so strong there's a tornadic wave going back and forth like something in in one of these cyclotrons, Lord, circling with such velocity and such power that the soul and the mind becomes one with the Word. A complete fusion. So that you can't tell the soul and the mind apart from the Word, one from the other. So there's no forgetting. Absolutely no forgetting the truth of these great things that we were taught that are ours. Passed over to us and proven to be ours. And then, Lord, with it, because of this tremendous gift of the revelation, spirit and filling, word upon word, we walk in the light. As Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And we want to do that, Lord, as sons and daughters of the King. The women dressing right, the men thinking right. And together having our families here as a prelude to the millennium. Even as Brother Branham said, Job gets his sons and daughters back in the millennium. May it be that we too, Lord, there together in that glorious, glorious family. And the great Son of God, the only begotten. The one in whom the generations were started. That one. We love him and he loves us and he's not ashamed of us. And we're brethren, because we have one Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, an only begotten greater Son, brother of ours. We look to you tonight and thank you for that which has been given us of God, our Heavenly Father. And we glorify you and we mark our identity tonight, Lord. Thank you for that identification, and may it not leave us as we leave this room. May it not be only in this building that these are the thoughts of our minds and our hearts, but day by day, as the prophet said, we conduct ourselves as sons and daughters of the King because we are. And we wouldn't, if we were anything else, did we camouflage in a counterfeit. So, Lord, there's this hunger in us, the deep calling to the deep. We accept your word and glory in it as best we can at this point, hoping for greater depth of glory through understanding and grace that given to us at this hour. And now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.